Okay, we're clicking off. Okay, today is Wednesday, November 7th, 2018 at 5 o'clock, and this is our regularly scheduled monthly meeting. Item 1A, and call to order in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic over which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of November 7th, 2018.
I second that. If I wasn't here, though, is that okay? I was on the phone for a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, I second it. Is that fine to second? That's what I mean.
Susanna seconds. Oh, okay. Ayes?
Aye.
Hello. Item 2, information discussion items, and first lineup, item A, the financial report, and Ms. Donna Horton.
Yes, as you see on the second page here, we are as of the November, the capital and the M&O budgets and expense and the balance. We have quite a bit still encumbered, but I didn't want to convolute things and put that in there. So that's what where we are with expenses right now.
Okay, so this is our budget, this our number here, then our expenses, and this is our balance. And then our 610, that's our budget from the 610, the capital, and then the expenses deleted from there. And then that's our balance.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Okay. All righty. And at some point, we had talked to about like showing the teachers where the money went from the state. Yeah, for the red for ed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, could you shed some light on there since we have a couple people here?
Sure. At this point, there was no additional money for Red for Ed because our enrollment was down.
Hmm.
And
it was down.
It was only if you got an increase in students did we see any additional funding. So I can show you that tomorrow if you need to.
No, I remember that we didn't. I mean, I've been on the school board for 6 years, and that's the first year that we didn't reach the 300. Of students, and I don't know how it works, but I remember it didn't reach.
Well, usually, and you remember our numbers usually would drop.
Yeah.
We'd get over 300,
mm-hmm.
and then
they
drop down a little bit.
But like 298.
Right, and so we were hovering at 298 for quite a while.
If that's the way it is that our numbers were low.
The ATM is what they go by, which was 279 last year, and that's where they figure the budget on.
Yeah.
And the previous year it was 284, I think it was. This year
mm-hmm.
is
going to
be higher.
Yeah, we are already at 300.
We are over. Mm-hmm.
It's just that I'm telling you, normally they don't hold, though. I mean, if it does, then that'll be great. But I'm just saying.
But I don't think we went
to 300.
Like 308,
maybe.
It wasn't even maybe not even that.
Right.
When the enrollment very started. So.
Right.
I mean, I could say, like, if that's the reason they didn't give the money, is we were lower than other years.
When I think that some of the districts like Sierra Vista, those people are saying that they got their money, and that's why I think that people are wondering where their money go type thing.
And,
you know.
And that's perfectly fine. I can show you how it figured on the worksheets. I was hoping for a extra line on the budget pages that would say additional amount for Ed, but it didn't formulate that way. And I called the State Department hoping that would be happening, but they said no, it's just based on your ADM and the base limits.
And that's just a prediction in a lot of times until you get the numbers there, you know. So, okay. All right, do you have any questions?
Mm-mm, no.
Item A, thank you, Ms. Horton, I appreciate that. Item B, the parking lot and the nature trail.
So there is a lot on the directly east of the gymnasium and it's a Naco Elementary School District property. Beyond the lot is a fence followed by a road that is no longer used by the county. I didn't even know there was a road there.
Our track. When I was in school, that's the track we ran.
Really?
Yeah, through the border, right next to the border.
Because the grass is like 5 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to somebody from the county, and they said, oh, yeah, there's a road. And sure enough, there's a sign there. And that road kind of leads over towards that road that leads to the border station. And there's also a culvert, like a wash, that comes and it kind of melds together. Well, anyway, in this lot, previously, there had been some gardens, and it basically is overrun with grass and those short mesquite and some brush. And so the thought was, it would be a good idea to put in a parking lot in there. And the parking lot could be used for staff for events that we have, like baseball or basketball games. And the community could possibly use that parking lot, because we do get quite a bit of families that will come and use our track. So the thought is that there would be a parking lot that would be put in. Behind the track is a tract of land prior to the fence. And I thought it would be a good idea to put in like a little walking trail. It would kind of be a nature trail where the teachers could take the kids and they could read to the kids out there, or they could have the kids do some art projects and those sort of things. So I ended up speaking to a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Dodson. He works for Cochise County. And he indicated that he's also on the board at Tombstone. And he says, Cochise County always does projects with schools. And that's kind of a little different for me, because I'm not used to a county working that closely with schools based on where I've been. So he sent us a quote to put in the paving that would come off of Valenzuela Street. He would put in the culvert and then build up the dirt so that the water still can flow in that little ditch that's right next to the street. He would put pipes about this big so that the water could flow through, and then the dirt over on the other side. And then he would pave the area, allowing about between 50 and 75 parking spaces. That would be more than enough to deal with our faculty and staff who could park out there. And it would really help out for events like graduation or honors assemblies, those types of things. And the nature trail would just be nice to have for the kids and for the teachers to go out there whenever they wanted to. So the quote came in at $21,000, which we considered to be extremely reasonable given what a typical parking lot would cost. It's not uncommon to see that cost up into the hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. And so at $21,000, he is proposing to do it over winter break. And I believe some of the labor that he'd be using would be prison labor. And that's why I think he can keep the cost down.
Right.
So that labor would be held when there are no students on campus. And so the other thing I was looking at is, and I'm still in discussion with the solar company to see if they could put solar panels that would create shading for that parking structure. Mm-hmm. And we're still in discussions there. And there's two ways to go about it with the solar panels. Either you pay up front and then you recover the cost by the savings of electricity, because you're able to then take the savings of the electricity that is being generated by the solar panels. Or there's no cost up front, but then you pay it off. You pay off the parking structure because you then are purchasing the electricity that's being generated by the solar panels. So there's two different projects. I'm still waiting for the solar panel gentleman to come back and kind of walk us through that. We are looking at the IGA for the parking lot. We are consulting with our attorney for the district to make sure that everything is on the up and up. Obviously, there would be a consideration, a recommendation to the board for a vote on that, if that's something you'd be interested in. And then what I'm also interested in is between the two strips where the parking would be, there would be a garden that would be in the middle. And that garden would be probably the length of the parking lot. And it would be separated by grade level so that each grade would kind of be in charge of their section of the garden. And out of that garden, we could plant tomatoes, we could plant lettuce, potatoes, flowers. It would also be good for science. And it would be in between the two parking structures. So Mr. Dodson has agreed to turn over the land and kind of put in some soil. And then that would allow us to be able to put in a garden. And so we think it would serve to really use well that piece of land that is there. And it would provide parking for our staff during the day and for the community in afternoons and evenings. And the garden is for the kids, as well as the nature trail. So that's kind of the thought and the idea.
I mean, it sounds wonderful. It does. I think it's great. But I mean, we come from, do we have money? Like, do we have the money to do it? That's what concerns me, because I come from the board. We have money to pay the tuition. We don't, you know, buses. We've talked about in the past that, you know, we're going to need a couple of buses. Those are old buses. I mean, I think it's...
And we don't even have a school car either that is really adequate.
That's the only thing. I mean, if Donna says we can do it, then I just come like, you know, how you don't have that money to spend, and then...
Well, here's the other thing. You said that you were talking about maybe doing it during the break, because we're not even going to have another school board meeting until December.
Well,
so we would
have it
before...
Yeah, it would be before, because right. The break is not till the middle
so,
of December.
But I'm just saying that's a lot of stuff that we would have to kind of calibrate prior.
I mean, I think it's cool. It
well, here's
great.
I'm just going to tell you guys. It. Here's the thing: is it? Did you? Where did you come up with this idea? Just out. Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Well, here's. I'm just going to give you history right now. A little layout of the land. We have been talking about this since 1994, when I got involved with our matriarch of NACO. Foy Armstrong, mm-hmm. And that was a baby of hers, and so she had wanted to do like a walk path for the youth, something that the older adults could utilize also, and then everything, we were fully discussing that, and then the sewer blew, and then we recovered, and then it blew, and then it just has been happening over and over. So we're still talking about an area that's pretty much a contaminated area.
Well, there hasn't been any.
They say that. They're saying that. But this is the other night, that night at that meeting, they established 40 years that this has been going on. I said 30. They have documented proof it's been going on for 40 years. And so I think in order to even consider something like that, I want to see that remedied because that's too long for that to be going on. The other thing is that it kind of concerns me about the location because of the cars being that way far away from the school. Because there is a lot of traffic through there.
Which what we talked about?
Over
what
here. Lot? See, that Mr. Shelton, right our superintendent.
Oh, the one where they have, like, it's right in the back of the ball, the
building. It's just, it would so be just straight east of us.
Yeah.
There's where the buses are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, okay, and then there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So the teachers essentially would be walking in through the, there is a gap between the left field line and the fence that starts the bus lot.
And here's the other thing. I didn't even think about the sewer. I mean, I lived in Naco my whole life.
I know.
Sewer my whole life.
I know, but
it's become any different than it did.
It's become,
you know,
a part of
30 years
of who we are, and we've accepted it. But is that acceptable, really? The other thing is that location, and we don't have anybody now that I really communicates with me the way that they used to, but there's some things go down over in that field, you know. is kind of, is not a stable place to, I don't know that I would really trust having vehicles parked there unattended. And honestly, we've had, I know that when we have big events like graduations and stuff, we do have people line up all the way down the road, but we have managed it. But here's what I'd like to think is that that I think that because this has been something we've worked on for so many years, talked about this and thought about it, I know that there have been, we did surveys about what people really wanted from it, from the community and the kids. And so we had a lot of input about that. And so I know that I'd like to see some of that stuff utilized where we'd have some input from the community. But the other thing is that the number scares me because I would really like to right now refrain from moving forward with this till maybe after New Year's or something, till the beginning of next year, because I would really like for us to pump some money into the teachers' supplies, like construction paper, pens, paper, everything that they need. I would really like for us to do that, to provide some supplies for the school.
I think right now when teachers are complaining that they didn't get that Ed for Ed
money. I know.
And us building a parking lot, I don't know
and
how
And I feel awkward about, I can't even really consider
with
it without
and
addressing.
I mean, maybe talking about it and talking and doing it maybe around spring break. The kids aren't here around spring break. And thinking, give us a little time to like think
right,
about it.
Right, to digest it. And so I'd like to really, here's the thing. We've been talking about this for so long. Like I said, I've been involved with that. This is 94.
And Don has, I don't know anything about that.
And every time we attempted it, something else, it would be some little dilemma. But see, that was acquired by one of our superintendents, Mr. Shelton. And he got it from the county or something.
Yeah, I don't even know who Mr. Shelton is.
I know. He was, when my daughters were here, he was a superintendent here.
And my daughter wasn't here
and
yet.
When was that, Linda, Mr. Shelton? It's no, we're talking after, 15 years ago.
I mean, Mo wasn't in school yet. Mo wasn't
longer?
Here yet, right?
I think Mo might have been in kinder.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is kind of I would really like to see something like this in NACO.
Yes,
I just really want
great.
To make sure that we get what we are talking about and we don't go off half-cocked. Mm-hmm. And I really want to make sure that we take care of the teachers, the supplies, and we kind of address some of our internal stuff.
The buses and the cars.
The buses, the cars, and we're talking about huge chunks of money there that we're going to have to.
Talking about different funds of money. Because the money that for teacher supplies is not the money. This is capital expenditure.
Yeah. Right.
In which case, the only reason that I wanted to bring it for consideration was it was such a ganga.
They won't give us a deal after December? Or
Now it's up to us if and when we want to move
forward. Oh, okay.
Well, and here's the other thing. There's also other options because
the gentleman is available over winter
break. The winter break.
Right.
He certainly would be able to do it later.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do this.
No, and I think it's great.
I do too. I just don't want us to go in too aggressively and not get what the community wants. And I think we should have some input from the people that we represent, pretty much, you know. And I do want to, I really, right now, my focus, I want to bring us back around to us focusing on the kids, their education, and the teachers being happy, and the staff all as a unit all together. But that's why I just would really like for that to be our main objective right now, rather than doing anything. And not that I think this is frivolous, because I think that we need that here. And because I believed in this for a long, long time, and I've been banging my head on the wall over this. But I do know I have some pretty good connections, you know, with Freeport, and because I'm on committee with them. And the other thing is, I think that. I don't know. I just, right now, I'm really worried about just the kids and their education right now, I guess is what I really want to get it turned back to that. And I would really want to do something like this. I just want to make sure that we proceed with caution in doing it. And the other thing is I have a good connection. I haven't been able to touch base with him because he's out of town right now. But he has been the source that I've been getting my information about from what's happening with the sewer. And what he has been seeing with his own eyes and what we were told at the meeting, they're trying to keep it down on the down low because they don't want this turning into the big mess it was on the news nationally, you know, so forth. So I think that's definitely something that we need to maybe have checked out too, the soils and things before we plan anything in there. You know, I hate to tell you, but because this is a bit of a mining area, the majority of the people in my area where I live, they have really seriously contaminated soil, and we're not even talking about fecal matter, you know. So, but that's just because it's been a mining, dairy, poultry, you know, a lot of people raised all kinds of stuff here before all that other stuff was banned, like a lot of poisons. But I'm excited about it, and I'd like to see it happen. I think we just need to get our numbers and check it all out. But I know that the teachers, I just want to make sure that our teachers are taken care of and they're not having to dig into their own pockets for their supplies and stuff, because I know that's always been a problem, you know, for teachers not having the stuff that they need. And I know it doesn't come out of, it's not coming out of this, but, and we're going to be working the new board too pretty soon, and people that have never been on a board probably or ever. And so it's kind of a precarious situation, because we have people coming in that don't know bylaws, and we have to really be careful we don't mess up, you know. So, but I appreciate your time.
I didn't even think about the sewer. I didn't even think about that. And I live in Naco. But, I mean, I think it's... Yeah. And the teachers, I just think it'd be something without the teachers, you know, not saying about the money. And the teachers, I mean, I get feedback from a lot of people, and they are very happy. All the staff is... A lot of the staff that I talk to is very happy with Dr. Morallo. He is. Like, the students, everybody, they love him. He's doing a very, very good job. I think it's wonderful, and it is a good idea.
Right, I do too. Okay. Well, thank you. So it's not a dead issue.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Morallo, and I think it's great, a great idea. I think we've always thought, like I said, since 94, that I've been pushing to have something down here. So.
Oh, it is awesome.
We'll be revisiting it, but I just don't want to really have a time frame attached until we can rectify a lot of the little problems. Yes. I hope it's a little problem still. So good job. We have anything further? Questions? Comments?
I think we beat the subject.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So item C, the Esmerit presentation, and Miss Yvonne Torres. Oh, sorry. I didn't give you a little heads up there, did I?
Well,
you're okay. You're fine.
Time to get it up here. And, I'm kind of slow.
No, you're not, Miss Torres.
Yes, I am.
Music is fine.
Music's okay. Okay, I'm still here.
Should have to be said.
Okay. So this is something that I presented to Dr. Morallo and the staff probably a couple of months ago, and we had our AZ Merit slideshow in the spring. And so I'm going to show you the results from our third grade through eighth grade.
Ooh, yay.
As we go through here. When we look at our reading and our language arts, and I broke it down into grade levels, so we go from grade 3 all the way to grade 8, you can see how many number of students that were tested, and then we have a percent passing. And that's what the state of Arizona does. They look at how many students passed. And what they consider passed is proficient. And there are four levels in Arizona AZ Merit. So we have something that's minimally proficient, and then we have proficient, and then we have exceeds. And so if you're in any of those sub-levels, you are considered proficient, which makes it look like 4.9 and 6.1 students. So when we look at grade 3, we had 29 students that tested. That meant 4 were proficient.
Wow.
And then you can work your way down there. Grade 5, 23%. And this is in table form right now, but then we'll see it in graph form. And it's kind of more visual. You'll be able to see it a little better there. Here's math. And you can see in grade 3 and grade 4, the percent there proficient. And so we had 11 in third grade and 18 in fourth grade.
And grade 6 had 0?
Yes.
Wow.
So you have to remember, for the last 2 years prior to this school year, we did not have
a
certified math teacher at the junior high level.
Right.
And so, anyway, sixth grade is a transitional year. The kids have been in a self-contained classroom from K through 5.
No, I have to.
And so that in itself is a transition for a lot of students to be able to, they have to move back and forth periods. And then they didn't have a teacher. And so we generally see a trend in the junior high from sixth grade where it goes down. And you'll see that in a minute.
Really?
Right now, as we see a trend here.
Because that sixth is pretty shocking.
Mm-hmm. So we go back all the way to 2015, and you go back to grade 3, and I broke it down. So here's the reading and the language arts. And when you look at 2018, that's the yellow band. And you can kind of go from grade 3 to grade 4 to grade 5. So it got a little, you know, went down, but then it goes back up. But if you want to make a comparison from grade 3 in 20... We'll go back to 2016. So if you look at the purple, and then you go to 2017, and you look at the blue, and then you go over and you look at 2018, you see the yellow from that same class. And you can see that they moved. You see a trend. Mm-hmm. So
is it because that's a third year?
We are improving, yes. So at the very end, you'll see our scores and how this kind of makes sense and comes together. Here's our grade 6, 7, 8 reading ELA.
Mm-hmm.
You do the same thing. You look, here's our yellow band. This is us this year. And so 6th grade was in ELA a little higher than when you look at 7th grade. It goes back up. And so, you know, is that the population of students that are in that class, is that what's going on?
Wow.
Here's the math if we want to go all the way back again. So we have the same band, but you can see how in math it's going up there. And then we had a little decline in fifth grade. And those zeros show up where there is no band, when you can see when you look at in grade four there. Here we have math, 6th, 7th, 8th, and no yellow for grade 6 because it was 0, grade 7, low, and then, and on the side we have percentages, those are the percentages that you saw earlier. Those aren't number of students who passed, that's percents there.
So how the jump, like grade 7 to 8, the 2018, How does that happen? I mean, that's a huge jump.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking at, what was that, 3 students, basically? So in 7th grade, and you got to remember, we go back 2 years, so we haven't had a math teacher. So in 7th grade, we kind of noticed that low score, but somehow in 8th grade, it picked back up. So, you know, you could categorize this by anything, by students in the classroom or what base they had when they came in, or the day they took the test, or, you know, you take in all those considerations. What we're looking at right now is that there wasn't a math teacher.
So if you look at yellow, grade 7 in 2017, and then you look at the yellow in 2018, that's just crazy.
But is the type of testing, I mean, is it the same as far as
it is.
The way they
and
do it?
And we still do paper-based. So if we're looking at grade 7 right here, and this is 2017, we're looking at this one right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then here they are here.
Yeah.
So they did make an improvement.
Yeah.
So we're looking at 3 or 4 kids who did. They made the improvement. It's paper-based, but the AZ Merit, it's very graphic. I mean, there is a lot of information. It looks, if you were to look at a math test, it looks like a reading test.
Really?
Yeah. So, and it is not multiple choice. I mean, there's a few multiple choice, but
students are asked to infer, they're asked to, there's logic, there's reasoning. So their question might be embedded way down here, but here they have a graphic here.
Right.
They have a table, they have a graph, they have something here. And then it gives them even more information, and then there's the question. And then they give mm-hmm. them space to work it mm-hmm. out. So it's not like when we were young and we were taking standardized Stanford test, right. It's a lot of work, and this is all the way back in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what the teachers are working on in their classrooms. So we want to go across, and so when we look at our average and we look at what ADE, the state, says is proficient is the green. And if you want to look at the blue is statewide. And if you look at the blue, not even all of Arizona students are proficient. The average is, when you look at the green bar and then you look at the blue bar, is somewhat lagging behind. So the tests are different in that they're scaffold and they get harder and harder. Mm-hmm. And so when you look over here, proficient is 25, 42, or 45. But you mm-hmm. can see by
nobody's really
the state.
Even there.
And so we're in the middle. Here we are, kind of in the middle. I mean, we have some gain to make.
What is it promising considering that we're like, you know, almost all Spanish speakers.
Yeah, and we're right on the line, you know, so yeah. A lot of people don't deal with what we're dealing
yeah,
with.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah.
Here's where we see the difference. So here's our reading. Here's that sixth grade bunch again.
Hmm.
And here's math.
Hmm.
And look at fourth grade, how we're right there. So the promise is these fourth graders right here are in fifth grade now.
Hmm. Right.
And to see their scores.
Uh-huh.
In the spring, in the summer. We'll get them in the summer. And math again.
Mm-hmm.
So we received, we are what's called a comprehensive support and improvement school, which means even though our letter grade is a C, enough of our population scores under 25%. And because of that, we have to be monitored.
Mm.
And we'll be monitored for the next 3 years. And so Dr. Morado, this is what he's been doing with our teachers, is that part of this and part of our plan is that our teachers become trained and knowledgeable. They already have that knowledge, but they're being trained mm. in a different type of way. For the effectiveness in the classroom.
Yeah.
And so that our scores, they're working on as far as scores to grow. But from last year when it was just a planning year, we were getting ready for this. We knew we were a comprehensive support school and they were getting us ready for this. We in 2017 scored at 12%. And then this spring we were at 15.4, so a 3.1 mm-hmm. growth. Which this is their language. So this is our consultant who comes down and just a couple of weeks ago went through the teachers' classrooms, had suggestions and advice, what needed to be inputted. They're the ones who sent this little note to Dr. Morado and said, you know, congratulations. We have shown growth. So if we keep doing that, this is our first year in two more years,
We'll be
out of monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our hope. And you're right, Susanna. We are mostly mm-hmm. in a ELL school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have 160, what did they say, four? 164 students that are in the ELL program.
Wow.
Out of 300.
That's half our
students.
Yeah.
It's half
right?
our students. And even out of those students, when students score proficient on the Azella test, which is before the AZ merit test, they still are considered an ELL student because we call them an FEP1 student and an FEP2 student. And at any time in that year, a teacher sees that, you know, I think they need to be back in an ELL classroom, they go back into an ELL classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So they have 2 years, supposedly by the state, in order to be really proficient. And that
sometimes just doesn't happen because they go, the land is Spanish, and they go home, and so. That's the end.
Good job. Thank you. That's cool.
That was great. Thank you.
That was very informative.
Now the graphs make it easy to kind of understand.
I've never seen that before. Yeah,
yeah, that's good. Good job, Ms. Yvonne. Item 3, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the resignation of board member Rosa Ramirez DeFord. So
I don't second it.
Me either. but so didn't you're staying through to January?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I that scared me. I was like, give us one more month. Okay. All right.
We want more time for everything.
All right. Well, thank you. And of course, you know, Rosa and Susana both came in because
nobody wanted
the job. And so they were gracious enough to take time out.
It hasn't been that bad. We've been here for 6 years already, so it hasn't been that bad.
Well, no, but I mean, but that's the sad thing, is that nobody has opposed our seats either.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the question. Why is that? You know, that in the past, we've always had a ton of people running for the board, and now there's nobody running for the board. And whenever Ms. Foy was here, there was a big interest in all this, and now nada. So I don't know what that means. But Ms. Rosa, we couldn't have done it without you, and you've been really invaluable and a sound person here, and so we really appreciate that you took out time out of your life to assist us in the...
And you were managed to get married.
...educational effort. Even if I couldn't keep up with your girl's dress code, you know.
Well, we can't keep up with Rosa.
with regret, I would like to move... to accept the resignation of our board member, Ms. Rosa DeFord.
I'm not going to say it.
Almost.
I second that.
Second, ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Against, with protest.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Rosa, and we wish you the best in your life, and I know you're not going to be thinking about us. So... Okay. Item B, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding letter of declaration to the J.P. Morgan Chase Bank.
This is a normal thing. Just in case we have to use a line of credit, we sign this and at a lower interest rate. If we don't sign it and we use line of credit, we get charged a higher interest rate. So it's better off for all of us just to have it signed in our bank,
Right.
So to speak. So we get charged a lower interest rate, but I do not want to ever go into the credit line.
I saw that, yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you. And this is something you do every year.
Good practice. Yes. Don't go into the credit line.
Okay, would we have any discussion questions?
No, I'm good.
Without any questions, I'd like to move that we accept a letter of declaration to J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. I saw the resignations.
I second that.
Rosa seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the 2018-19 Prop 301 plan.
I have been working with a group of teachers in regards to the 301 performance pay plan.
Bless you.
And I wanted to bring it for your consideration. As a result of the work that we've done with the committee, we went to the faculty and there was an 80% affirmative vote. There was no votes. We did have 3 abstentions. And
there was no negative votes?
No negative votes.
And just a couple abstained and that's it?
Yes. And so of the 15 eligible teachers, we received 12 ballots. And the 12 ballots were voted in the affirmative for this plan. So very briefly, in Section 1, that fund pays out as 20% for those that are teachers here at NACL. That is similar to what it was last year. in section one. In section two, teachers have to meet two criteria. One is they must have at least a satisfactory score on their evaluation. All teachers are evaluated. And each teacher must attend the local professional development, the in-service that we give, at 90% rate. And if they do those two criteria, they would receive that second bucket, which is 40%. Section three, there are some areas where we would quantify for payment. This is the third bucket, which would be 40%. We'd like to see an increase of 2 percentile points on the NEWA, which is the, it's a test that we, it's an assessment that we give all students. And we give it three times a year. The first time was in early September. The second time will be in December. The third time will be in April. And so we want to see growth as a result of students being in teachers' classrooms. And the NEWA is research-based and produces some fairly good results in terms of how our students are performing. And it's an assessment that I think has been given here for a while, and we're continuing this year. So what we'd like to see in one and two is a 2% growth in reading and a 2% growth in math. This is an or. They can show growth in one or the other. That would be number one and two. In number three, we would like to see a 1% increase in attendance. Last year it was 93.42. Overall, we'd like to see a 94.42 or greater. If indeed the students get that score or higher, that would be the third criteria. Number four, school quality surveys for parents and school quality surveys for students. What we want to see is, one, that they're given with fidelity to the parents and to the students, and that our school performs at least a 3 or a 4, which would be an affirmative indicator that parents and students are seeing that their school works and their teachers are here to help them and that they feel safe here at school. So there would be a survey that I will be showing you probably sometime in January. I will review the survey with you, the one that we will give the parents. And I'll also review it with the teacher in terms of the survey being given to, that will be given to the parents, the survey given to the students. If indeed they do well there, then that's that standard, I believe it's 4 and 5.
Now, where did this come from? Is this is not a one we normally use.
What is that?
This 301 performance plan. This didn't come down from the state.
No. It is something that the teachers and I worked on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So what do we have? Are you telling us what is in relation to what we've had before, too, yeah?
In some respects, yes.
Right.
Like, for example, last year, we don't have any record of the survey being issued to parents or students. So we didn't have last year to compare it to. And so we had to work number four and number five in such a way.
See, I don't have section two.
It goes one to three. I think this is the section. I was confused.
I'm in section three.
Yeah, this is section two. Section three.
Oh, I was looking for the. Uh-huh. See, there's one, and where's two?
So this is Roman numeral, so this is section two, section three.
So this is two?
This is two, and three, and now we're over here at five and six. So this is the section, not the.
Oh, see, I just didn't see
number,
the two. Yeah. I was looking for that. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So when it comes to the surveys, what we want is we want our parents and we want our students filling it out as many as possible. It's a lot easier to get students to fill it out because they're a captive audience. And K-1 would not do the survey because reading ability and their ability to understand questions like this. So that would be from grades 2 through 8 for the survey.
To tell you the truth, you know, Abel, to tell you, honestly, I think I'd like to see our prior one just for to have a comparison.
We don't have last year's Miss Walker.
Oh.
I don't have access to it because I don't believe it was given.
Okay. So it's not in our,
minutes.
Our, all of our paperwork and our...
Well, I asked for it, and what?
Our procedures, where our manuals, our procedure manuals, because we have to have our performance pay, it has to be in that manual. And it was a big red binder with all of our procedures in there.
She's talking about the 301.
The what?
Last year's 301. You're talking about last year's 301?
Yeah.
Are you referring to appearance surveys?
Yes.
You're talking about two different things.
So what we're using as a criteria in number 4 and number 5 is okay. The issuing of a parent survey. The parent survey would include a variety of questions about if my child struggles, does the teacher help him? Does my child feel safe at school? Is it a bully-free environment? Has my child been issued a student handbook? There are a variety of questions that are asked of parents and of students. What I've been saying is that the survey from last year, I have not been able to find it.
Right, I got that, right.
Okay, so we're using as criteria for growth in 301, we will issue a parent survey this year and we will issue a student survey. And the growth will be that our parents and students will rate the teachers, administration, the school in a favorable light. And if that happens, then we will see that as affirmative in the fact that our teachers would then have access to 301 money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Normally what schools do, Ms. Walker, is they will say, this was the score when the parents scored last year. They scored at 72% favorable. We want to see a 3% increase this year. That's what I'm not able to do.
Right.
Because I don't have access to last year's data.
Right.
And why? Because we didn't do it?
I don't believe that it was issued. It was given.
And this is just the parent thing, the part with the parents.
The
okay,
student.
Okay.
Now, if I'm wrong, I will come back and let you know.
Yeah.
But I did ask, and I have not been able to get any kind of data that shows, look, we did give a parent survey.
Right. Okay,
that's
so.
Fine.
Yeah.
Numbers.
I just would like to compare it to the state one myself.
You would?
Mm-hmm.
I would too, because that's what I'm having a hard time making
just
a decision when I don't have anything to compare it to. And I don't mean the survey, I mean the 301 plan itself. This is a different plan altogether.
Yes. You want to see last year's plan.
Right. The one that we accepted last year. Right.
Okay.
So can we table this?
But the first one is similar. If you want to go, I'm sorry.
Number one is similar. Section one.
Well, I'm just wondering what the differences are for my own, you know, mind, because I don't know what we're changing. So, like, let's say that it's coming down from the state. Normally, we would have new language would be highlighted for we'd know what was new and what wasn't new. Right now, looking at this, all I know is what it is. I don't know what we had and what's new, what the asset is, and what the anything that was not was negative on the other one. And
the one from last year.
Oh, you do?
Great. Ms. Torres will provide the other two board members with their copy.
Okay. And so are you going to copy them now?
I have them.
Oh, okay.
This is too
bad. So do you need this, Ms. Reese?
No, I have
no?
another one.
Okay, thank you.
She has this. One thing that, if possible, we could do.
Ms. Mott wants to talk over there.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mr. Morallo, go ahead.
One thing, if possible, we could do is if we could, at the very least, accept Section 1 which is the same as it was last year.
Okay.
It's hard to just accept just part of a policy,
right,
though.
Oh, no, that's fine. I don't know.
Ms. Mott.
Okay, what I was going to say is every year a committee gets together, and
right.
It's not, you know, like this year they're going to use this criteria. Last year they may have used something else.
Right.
It's something the teachers came up with.
Right.
So it may not be the same every year. So you're,
right.
You really can't
compare
them to each other. It's something that the staff does.
Right.
And then that's what is presented. If everybody voted on it and in the staff and they're okay with it, then
we should right.
just automatically come to the board and say, we're saying this is okay. And
right, I understand
so
that.
It's
but here's the
same,
here's
it's
the thing.
About the same thing, except that they don't have the 5 and 6.
Well, see, in my mind,
right?
I'm just curious about what is it that you guys are looking at that is more advantageous, just out of curiosity.
Actually,
more than anything.
This is more towards the kids than what we were doing last year and the year before.
Okay.
The last 2 years I was here.
Okay.
This is more.
And you said that all the teachers were in agreement about this, though.
80%.
And there's only two that abstained, and so the others were for it.
Everybody agreed.
And so I guess in that respect.
No, if you read it, the only thing is the rating is the students. Rating the
right,
the and the parents.
But see, that's
why
I didn't know
in it,
because
in it. Yeah, because we didn't have
right.
the other one.
And so,
fine. But
with that, see, I feel better making a decision based on having more information. And so, I feel that if the teachers also
were
voting,
very hard
wanting this
for 4 weeks, and we
right.
talked to everybody else,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't just Ms. Torres and.
So did everybody had input?
And we asked for feedback. We went back and forth until we came up with a plan that worked for everybody.
Okay.
And
except for the two abstentions.
Three.
Okay. Three. Then that's
right.
It's something you guys
okay.
got made up this year.
So I think I'm pretty okay with making a decision.
Let me finish it. Number six.
Okay.
Standard number six in section 3. We have 164 ELL students. What we're saying is that there will be there will be 5% of our students that will be reclassified as English proficient. That number, if you take the 164 students who are ELL, that number qualifies as 8 students that would be reclassified or more. Now, last year, I believe we were at 10 that were reclassified. That number 6 is one that we do have some history from previous years.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before, I believe, was 13. So we are looking at 8 students. Obviously, we'd like to see more, but 8 it would be the standard. Then what we're saying is, if our teachers meet 3 out of the 6 in section 3, then they would qualify for that bucket of money. So it's separated into 3 buckets. The first one is, by virtue of the fact that they're a teacher here, they would qualify for that 20%. And that payout would be in December. The second, section 2, your evaluation will be at least satisfactory, and you have to attend professional development at 90% of the time. If you do that, if you do both, then you qualify for that.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is you have the 6 qualifiers, and if the teachers get 3 of them, then they qualify. And that's what's under consideration in the recommendation for the board. And I can tell you that 80% voted affirmatively.
What did you say, 80?
80%. We need to have 70.
Mm-hmm.
So 80%, and the people that submitted their ballots to me were 12 individuals of the 15.
The other one's 17.
And each of those individuals voted yes. and only the teachers qualify. So if you're a long-term sub, you would not qualify. If you're a classified staff, this money cannot go to you. If you're an administrator, a nurse, a teacher on special assignment, you would not qualify. It's only our certificated teachers. And so that means that that pool of individuals are 15 teachers. And then at the end of that document is where the three payout dates would be. And then the document goes through if they wanted to appeal. What do we do if somebody, let's say, was hired late? Those types of considerations. So, do you have any questions?
I don't off the top, personally. You guys?
Mm-hmm, that's fine. So what if they started late? I mean, how do you address that?
It would be prorated. The committee could also make a recommendation to me that we pay out completely. Mm-hmm. If somebody came in, let's say at the end of the first quarter, we do have one that did. And so it does rest with, I generally will get recommendations from the committee. And off of that recommendation, then I then render a decision.
And who's the committee?
That was my next question.
Committee is made up of James Page, Maria Reese, Teresa Torres, Aaron Rhodes, Yvonne Torres, and myself as the principal. And we did get some technical assistance from Julie Morgan, because she's good at writing like this. And then we've consulted with Ms. Horton in regards to matters that are financial.
Okay.
And the committee has been voted on, or you guys just...
I asked for volunteers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have representatives from the middle school, and I wanted to have representatives from primary. And so these were the individuals that stepped forward. And there were a couple of individuals that started and kind of just faded away. And that was fine. I mean, we moved forward.
People dropped out?
A couple of people.
Oh, yeah. And why did they leave, did they say? Or?
I think one had conflicts with tutoring, and another one just faded away.
Now, who were those two people that dropped out?
Ms. Franco started and dropped, and
Ms. Franco?
Mr. Hernandez.
Mr. Franco's daughter.
Oh, Mr. Hernandez.
And
Mr. Page stepped forward, and he participated.
Nipo's daughter.
And Ms. Rhodes, Ms. Torres, Ms. Reeves were constant throughout, along with Ms. Torres, Ms. White Torres.
That's cute. White Torres, and what's the other one?
T. And we have another teacher getting married, Torres.
But she's not
going to take her name. Tree Torres.
What are the chances, right? So you guys have any questions? And which way are you leaning here? You're in?
It's really nothing different, right?
Tell me what you're thinking, Ms. Rosa.
I feel like I'm, like, I just don't.
You what?
I don't know. I just don't, like, I don't have enough. With my time left here, I just feel like I'm.
We need you.
She doesn't have a voice.
You're still ours for a month.
What's the.
You're a knuckle girl.
No, I mean, I like it. I really do. I just want to, what's the pressure of, like, getting, make a decision today?
That's what I was wondering.
Because the money comes out, the first money comes out on the 7th of December. The first disbursement.
The first
disbursement comes out the 7th of December.
So if you didn't vote on it,
so they
tonight,
wouldn't get their money. If they wouldn't get their money,
we just move it to right. The December meeting. If we move it to the December meeting, then it does become a payroll issue in terms of, you know, the money. And then the payout would probably be in January.
That's That would piss a lot of teachers off.
But she doesn't hate it.
It's pretty similar, really.
Right.
There's different things, that, like the Cardinal Pride and the things that we did were under last year. We still do that. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're not doing
it. Right, and I actually like, I mean, it's very, to me, it's more academically based. I mean, so I do like that part. I just...
And at least they get the parents to step up, you know. Like, you don't have a lot of parents that step up. So at least there, at least if you get their input, you know that you're kind of, you know, helping the kids, and the kids appreciate you, and they want their parents to participate in the in their schooling. I mean, Mr. Page, Miss Rhodes, I mean, they've been here for, Miss Tor, they've been here forever. I can't doubt that they would do anything that would, that, you know, I think it's good. I mean, I'm fine with it.
You guys ready to vote?
I think I'm fine with it. I don't see any
reservations. You have no reservations?
Okay. I really don't.
So you want to go ahead and go do this? Seeing,
you know.
No, and not, it's not.
You know.
I don't. I'm not.
Well, and I see. I guess because this is the first. I read it today, and I had questions. I didn't have the other one present, but.
If the teachers are for it, yeah,
then I think that that's enough of a reason to support them. And,
let's vote.
Yeah.
Let's
okay. Let me find my paperwork now. Okay. Pertaining to item C, presentation discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the 2018-19 Prop 301 plan presented by the staff. I would like to move to approve.
I second that.
Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we don't want presents already.
Yeah, we do. Okay. So that concludes our action items, actually. And so we have Mr. Morallo. You're on the superintendent's report.
Yes, thank you. Members of the board, I will be working soon to set up a site council made up of teachers, parents, and a member of our classified staff. This will meet the mandates of our Title I guidelines and also state law. And I believe I'll be starting the site council sometime in January.
Now, what does the site council consist of?
The site council will consist of an equal amount of parents to teachers.
Equal amount? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and the teachers, are you picking the teachers? Are they volunteering? Or?
No, this is the way it works for the teachers. The teachers essentially vote for their representatives. So what I do is I will outline for them what the role of the site council is. It is essentially an advisory to the administration. And what the site council will deal with are overall trends for the school. A trend could be, what is the discipline pattern of this year versus last year? What's the attendance pattern? Look, we're going to do a new adoption for a reading textbook, let's say. The site council would be a good venue to have a review of the various publishers who would come in, of books that we would be looking at. The site council is not meant to deal with the minutiae or the day-to-day things that happen at a school. It is more designed to deal with the overall, to encompass a lot of the main themes of what happens in a school. And that could be disciplinary, that could be matters of academics, it could be matters involving hiring, it could be matters involving school adoption of curriculum. It does not supersede the board or state law. It would be advisory to the administrator, which would be me. There would be an equal amount of parents to teachers. The teachers would then vote for their representatives. Pretty much at the start for the first year, we probably would get parent recommendations and bring on parents. In the second year, they would then vote, just like the teachers vote, and there would be a member of the classified staff, and the other member on the site council is the administrator, and that would be me. We would meet I have met with site councils as frequently as twice a month in a very large school that I was principal at. The recommendation may be one a month. It could also go one every 6 weeks. And that probably is about what we would be doing here at NACO, or at least that would be my recommendation. We would have a set of bylaws that we would work by. And then every year, everybody's up for a vote, with the exception of the administrator, as long as the administrator is returning.
Do you really think that this is something that is needed in a school of our caliber, though, and the size? Because to tell you the truth, I think that that's what the board is for, is to do those exact same tasks.
It is recommended and I believe mandated by Title I.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the things that, as I am working towards an integrated action plan, it's one of the things that Dr. Cota and I spoke about at our last meeting, is in terms of making sure that we have some sort of parent representation. And so site councils are generally the way I asked it. Can we do this through a PTA?
That's what, okay. So,
we've always had PTA.
Is that what
Brian,
it is? It's
right.
Like a PTA, but it's not.
No, the PTA would not meet the standard that is set by Title I guidelines.
And so your bylaws would still have to be okayed by whom?
They would be okayed
the board.
By the governing board.
Right.
What's
okay.
This?
Well, here's
we're not
and
even.
By the way, the site council could not supersede board policy.
Right, because that's why we're elected.
Could not supersede state law.
Right.
Could not supersede any of the mandates or requirements that we have as per Title I, as per state rules. They could not infringe on any of those types of things.
Right. Okay.
It is also not uncommon for governing board members to say to the administrator, I think this individual would make a good parent for the site council.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fine too.
Right. Okay. Well, to tell you the truth, I think that whenever we were doing our hiring process, I mean, to have a member of the public actually come forward and demand that the public make the decision about the superintendent because they didn't have faith in us was the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
Right.
Because number one, that's why we're here legally, that's what we're here for. And so you're talking about just using a site council as more of a sounding board, more or less. Because we can't have them making decisions about the books, and because that's what we do too, you know, textbooks.
Let's assume that the site council wanted that kind of oversight of, let's say, when you go to hire a superintendent.
Right.
They could not, because they would be stepping on your toes. That is a duty and a responsibility of the governing board. What the site council could do is they could say, could we participate in, let's say, a forum to determine what are the characteristics we want in the next superintendent.
Right, which we did that. Right.
Could do that.
Right.
The other thing that the site council could do is to say, look, we're going to hire a third grade teacher for next year. And it's always advisable to have a parent and a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The individuals that sit on the site council could step forward and say, I'd like to be on that committee.
Right.
So, again, the hiring a superintendent is the purview of the governing board. If the site council wanted to horn in on that, I would be working with the site council to indicate how inappropriate that would be.
Right.
Because that is a duty of the governing board.
Well, and I think that's where I'm going with this, is because when these people from the public demanded that they pick the superintendent without our input until I advised them that was not a reality, that is our job and that's why we're here. That isn't even possible to do that. And that's why we told them that we evaluated their opinion and we let them do their own little poll. And because we did want to know, and we all came out the same way, right?
And we all picked the wrong one.
So this is just in its infancy, something we're contemplating.
Well,
And so I
have to tell you, because it's a Title I mandate, I am compelled to follow through.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to do it.
With the site council, you mean?
The site council. He says it's part of the policy receipt.
Well, we've never had one before.
Yes, we have.
How long ago was it?
Mandatory.
But they made all those decisions, Linda? About, you know...
No, they didn't make any decisions, but...
Or input.
They made the recommendations, yeah.
Recommendations, right.
They made recommendations.
But we did have a site council.
Well, do you think that it's, what's wrong, how come we don't just have PTO? What happened to that?
It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
I've never known that.
So what do you think? How come it fell through? How come we stopped?
PTO is over here, and they help the school and everything. Site council helps with, if people want to talk to members of the site council and stuff, and then the site council can bring it to Mr. Morato, can bring it to you all and talk. You know, this is what people are telling us.
Right.
We would like to discuss it. We discuss it in the meeting, and then he can bring it to you all at the board.
You know, right. That's what I'm thinking, Don. I think that it just, Dr. Morato is talking to it on his superintendent report as something that is going to happen. That's
right.
Going to take place. Mm-hmm. And maybe we just never were aware. You know, it might have not have just been brought to our attention because it's not something
it's
not something that we're ruling on or, you know, going to, you know, make a motion on. It's something that's going to happen, and that's why it's in his report.
Right.
And maybe that's why we've never really known about it. Maybe it's just been something that Mr. Franco and you know, thought that we didn't, you know, we didn't consider because it's just part of the plan. I guess it's just part of this. You know,
but I think anytime people are getting more involved, that's a good thing. You know, just
and I think maybe it's just something that we've just never heard about since it's not.
Well, I just never I've never thought about it with all that participation,
and maybe because we've never been and it's never been brought to our attention.
Right.
It's titled like it's something that the state comes down from the state. Yeah.
Right.
And I just think it's just something maybe we just never. You were okay. Going on.
Well, and thank you for going into the details about it. So that helps a lot.
So the next thing is.
Don't do another one, Dr. Morato. That's gonna.
Don't
shock us again.
Our teachers have been receiving training in reference to literacy instruction, and I'm very proud of them. And they've received 5 days of training. And we are following up with that training to make sure that those practices are being implemented in the classroom. And we will then follow through with a variety of other training because the literacy instruction provides the base. So now we will build on that base so that our teachers it's a resource for them and it is designed to make them better teachers. That's not to say that they weren't great teachers, they were, but anytime you have a set of professionals, it is always good to provide them the cutting edge training, especially when it comes to an issue as critical as teaching children to read. As you saw in the scores, it is very, very important that our teachers receive the very best training. So we're working closely with the state of the ADE for this training. We've just done the 5 days of training. We will continue with another set of training in the spring. We're also doing ELL training with our teachers, and that has been successful as well. With our middle school teacher, the consultant that you agreed, based on my recommendation, has been very, very successful. She's already been to the school 6 different days. The latest was yesterday. And the teachers have really taken to her.
Now, who is this? What's her name?
Her name is Janelle Chisholm. And she is doing very, very well with our middle school teachers, and especially our math teacher, because our math teacher is a long-term sub, and she's trained to become a teacher. So Ms. Chisholm has kind of taken her under her wing, and she's working with her monthly. And we're seeing the byproduct of that, and it's been very, very positive. And so she'll continue that work through May. I'll give you periodic reports on how they're doing. And so I'm very encouraged by this training. The next thing is...
Can I roll back for a second? Now, when you're talking about the training, how many are all the different teachers, all you're going in like groups where everybody eventually, the majority of the teachers are going to have the same training?
Yes.
Or all the same people getting the training all the time?
So the primary teachers, K-5, got the teaching reading effectively. We've been able to send everybody but two. The next two will be going, one is going in November. Later this month, the other one will start in January. And then there is a February training on syllables, morpheme, and writing. That is the follow-up training to the teaching reading effectively. That one, we believe the trainer will come here and do some webinars with our teachers. The middle school, 6 through 8, they're getting the consultant that is coming twice a month. And so she makes the trip from Phoenix. And so she comes in and does training with our teachers, and that has been very, very positive. And she will continue doing twice a month through May. So the middle schools get their training specific to their content area and state standards, and the primary teachers are getting their training consistent with increasing literacy skills.
Great. Thank you. Good job.
The next one is the visit from the Title I staff was very successful. I will be presenting to you probably in December the draft of the integrated action plan that will dovetail with our 301, and it will be designed to increase student achievement, and it will also include these trainings that we're already paying for. And that plan will then be used for the succeeding year, for the rest of this year and into next year. And it kind of gives us a guiding strategy of where we're going with our training and how we plan to increase student achievement. Because as you saw Ms. Torres put up, we need those scores to go higher. And I've been so proud of our teachers because they haven't balked at the training. They have been upfront about what the scores are. They are working collaboratively. I could not have asked for a better staff in terms of the way they have been working with me and with Ms. Y. Torres. And so we're very pleased and we're moving forward. And so we're hoping that the result of that will be increased achievement with our students. And then the last item is our enrollment is holding steady. We are at 314 students.
Wow, that's great.
The benefit of that is because of last year, I think we got credit for 276
in
ADM.
I know we were low.
At 314, that's going to be, not only is it good because we're holding our enrollment, which is in itself a really good thing, but it's going to represent more money for NACO from the state. And that's always a good thing in terms of being able to either hire more staff and just having more money in your budget is always a good thing. But that's something in the spring that Ms. Horton and I will work with our teachers and work with you in terms of where those budget dollars should go. So I'm trying to be very transparent, very collaborative to make sure that there isn't anything like budget or like these academic plans where people are either in the dark or I'm showing up at a meeting and saying, guess what, this is what we're doing. I think that in the long run could be very detrimental at a school. So I'm just reporting out in terms of what we're doing. Okay, so that's my report.
Okay, thank you, good job. We have calls to the public.
You guys talked enough.
No, yeah. So tentatively, our next meeting will be the first week in December, probably the first Wednesday, tentatively, the 5th of December.
We may need to change that. I believe on the 5th, I'm going to be at the OLS training, which is the ELL training.
That's fine. It's my birthday, and I'm going to come.
On the 5th?
Yeah,
you going to Paris?
No.
I was like, well, you should go.
So either
Paris, Texas?
If we can meet on the 6th of Thursday or
Paris,
the 12th
Arizona.
The following Wednesday.
What did you
say? Why don't we, do you guys want to leave it kind of loose right now and see how it unfolds?
You're going to be in a wellness for 3 days.
What's that?
You're going to be in a wellness for 3 days.
Yeah, but the 5th is one of those days.
Right, but
isn't,
but if
you
made it on next Thursday.
If we made it, but the next Thursday, I'm free.
Okay, so you said the 6th and the 12th. I heard you. I heard him, Yvonne.
Yes, yeah.
So the 12th is fine with me.
The 12th?
Oh, that's 12? the
Okay, well, let's call it tentatively the 12th.
Oh, no.
And then we'll have it validate that as we get closer. I can't believe we're into November already. So we're set then with the tentative date. We have nothing further. And so Ms. Rosa will be with us in
one more time.
December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And at that point, I'd like to move to adjourn at 6:21.
I second that.
Rosa seconds.
Aye.
Ayes.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Good job.
Very good job, Ms. Torres. That was great. Ms. White Torres.
Can I show
kids
you?
Call me Ms. White Horse.
Do they?
Even my own kids call me Ms. T. Torres. Sometimes I'll get Ms. T. Torres.
Are we signing anything today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
This is
get
the
to it.
This
it's Wednesday. It's
pool
night.
We're
going up there. Yeah. Okay.
Next week, so that would be this coming next week.
I've been in contact with her twice a week.
I don't want us to work too much money.
No, that's the duster is
required. No, I just made a piece of paper.
So you changed it like
really?
That?
We don't normally do an individual education plan.
Well, let me see. I'd like to chance her support. Yeah, I request to have her tested by the school. It just took like a while.
One lady that's friends of mine from Sierra Vista. She got married a year ago, and she.
You know, I should have brought this article in. There's been two changes in the Tucson paper in the last week.
If I ever got married, I don't think I would change my name. Everybody would know.
About
the exact
age,
nobody knows me.
Yeah. You should have got it through 3 months.
I'm going to throw off Google search for a little while.
Because we're still valid. And it is better. Better than somebody like you and I cracking our head,
right.
You know. But they're talking about how commonplace it is. But they said, so I'm just hoping and praying that in 2 to 3 months, that little girl can be
white.
She will.